This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Friday today. Actually, Friday night at 9 o'clock. And I actually had recorded this week's podcast already yesterday as I was going home. We needed to do it again, and I'll explain that in a little bit. It's been a good week. We've had some excitement with the Super Secret Project. The Super Secret Project may not need to be super secret too much longer. And as part of that excitement, there were a lot of big decisions that had to be made, and I talked to my buddies and thought them through and decided to make those decisions based on the principles. And so this is going to be interesting to see how this all works out. Now that I am several more days into those decisions, things are starting to smooth out. For a while there, looked a little uncertain, and there were some struggles, but you just keep pecking away and hunting away and looking for solutions, and it's amazing how things open up. So we're not quite out of the woods yet, but this morning I had to do some redesigning. I've been working on that pretty much all week. And this morning, I think I stumbled onto, I should say, I persevered through, and Jesus whispered to me and helped me, and I think we're onto something. So that's good. That's good. More to come on that. The work at my major client is going well. I'm still interviewing. If I've got my counts right, I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 interviews I've done in the last 4 weeks, and I'm doing a business process investigation, and so I'm breaking all that work up into Word outlines, and then I'm having the users fill out those Word outlines. At this point, we have over 1,000 Word outlines that I have set up. So there's a lot of work being done. It seems to be going fine. I just keep solving the little problems here and there, but God's been kind. We've been able to get those things solved. It is episode 72 today. Woohoo! It was episode 72 yesterday as well. Not that episode 72 is anything great to celebrate, but I actually remembered to say it, so it's episode 72. Now I'll wait to tell you till I get closer to the end as to why I'm redoing this. I've been thinking a lot about creativity lately, because as I've been doing these interviews, and people kind of want to know what my personal history is a little bit, because I ask them what their personal history is, and I start to share, and their eyes kind of get big. Or I've had situations where I was just talking to one of the word processing specialists today via email, and come to find out that his dad was also a missionary kid, and his dad was with my brother, and they were good friends in the Philippines, and so we made that connection, and he said, you know, it's a really small world. He said, my wife is still amazed that I met the inventor of Finale, so, which is me. you know, it's interesting how connections happen. But in the process of all that, I have fallen back on a comment that I usually make when people are complimenting me on the things that I've accomplished in life, the things that I've done. And I usually tell them, you know, personally, I don't feel like I'm some kind of a genius or anything like that, really, because that's usually the line they'll start off with. I'll say, you know, I just don't, it really doesn't feel that way on the inside. It just kind of feels like a conversation. And I've been thinking about that and pondering that in conjunction with a few other things. And there may be an interesting conclusion at the end of it all. To begin with, there is a chapter in my book, Still Whispers, which you can download for free off my website, philferrin.com. There is a chapter in that book called Coherence. And in that chapter, I talk about the very interesting verse in Colossians, where Paul says, nothing was created without him, and by him all things consist. And I talk about in that chapter the fact that we in our physical existence, if the scientists are correct, actually live in two kinds of worlds. The first world is the world that we're most familiar with. It is our physical universe that we see, that we touch, that we interact with every day. It has discoverable rules. It has patterns of behavior which we can track and then predict. Because of that, we can send people to the moon. Because of that, we have electricity. Because of that, we're able to make scientific discovery. Because everything is repeatable and verifiable. And we are able to do investigation then. We are able to fulfill the proverb that says, it is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. And that's what is known in some circles as the classic physics model. But there is another model that the scientists tell us about that has been discussed in the language of mathematics, that according to those who understand that language, they say it is so elegant and answers so many questions that even though it may not ever be experimentally proven, it is generally accepted as true. And that is the quantum world. That in the quantum world, you can have particles that exist in multiple places at the same time. In the quantum world, and that includes time, backwards and forward in time. In the quantum world, you can have instantaneous transmission of communication across vast distances. You can entangle two particles and separate them by vast distances, and when you change the charge on one, the change instantly flips on the other, no matter how far apart they are, which seems to violate our axiom that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. In addition, from what the scientists say, the quantum world seems to be an extraordinarily powerful place. And I mentioned in the chapter Coherence that as I hear about these things, as I hear in about particles that are present multiple places simultaneously, as I hear about the instantaneous transmission of information, as I hear about the massive power estimates in the quantum world, it starts to sound like all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. It starts to sound like, to me, it starts to sound like the eternal. One of the things, though, that is puzzling scientists is how the quantum world invades our world. Because the quantum world is a completely different thing. And if, in fact, we lived in the quantum world, I'm not sure we would have science. And yet, the quantum world somehow transitions and gives essence to our existence and achieves, I think the word is, coherence. That the quantum world bubbles up into the coherent state that we are used to experiencing in our lives. And that brings me back to that verse in Colossians, where Paul says, by him all things consist. Because another word that you could translate there is, by him all things cohere. And in that chapter, I wonder if in fact, when Paul says, by him all things cohere, what is really being said under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is that Jesus Christ, by his will, causes our universe to exist on a moment-by-moment basis. That it is not the model that we're used to thinking about, where there was a big bang and the rules were all set in place, or there was a six-day creation and the rules were all set in place, and that God is seated up on his throne somewhere just watching. But that in fact, our existence on a moment-by-moment basis is actually continually made possible by Jesus Christ, by the force of his will. That puts an interesting angle on a lot of things. When Jesus said that God knows the hairs of your head, when Jesus said that God knows if any sparrow falls, all those things seem trivial if, in fact, he is holding every molecule in the entire universe together simultaneously. If he's doing that, of course he would know all those things. In conjunction with creativity, then, it gets to be an interesting proposition if you follow that line through, that God not only holds the physical characteristics of the universe together, but as part of his intimacy with the world and his intimacy with us, he is a wellspring of creation, a wellspring of creative energy. Anyone who is involved in creative endeavors, writing, composing, sculpture, paintings, dance, any of those things, invention, in any endeavor, if you actually get people quiet enough and honest enough, they will tell you that what goes on inside them does not seem so much like figuring out problems on your own as it does a conversation. If they'll just stop and think about it, how they'll be struggling with a problem and looking and trying to find an answer, and then boom, something will pop into their head. And that mechanism, that instantaneous, oh, I could try that, I think is God. And I would go so far to say that it could very well be that all creative endeavors in the world are God. Because there is a force for evil in this world, but that force seems to be very destructive and focused almost exclusively on destruction. And so I'm not sure that the initial ideas, that the initial insight, the initial spark comes from anywhere but God. And it's only after that initial spark occurs that then the world, the flesh, and the devil take those creative endeavors and twist them into something else. And one of the reasons I think God does this, aside from the fact that he is just immensely creative and his creativity just flows out of anything he's attached to, and if he's holding the world together, I think it's just a natural, whoops, sorry, got a little too close to the road there. I just think it's a natural outgrowth of the fact that by him all things cohere. His creativity is just in the world. But another reason I think that he does that is that the transmission of that creativity, if people are honest, gives them a glimpse that life is more than just animalistic behavior, is more than just chaotic humanist evolution, that there's a spark that is undeniable and unexplainable within us. And it just keeps sparking. So even if they don't know him, I think he's willing to apply his resources and his creativity in their lives, because that gives him at least one avenue where he can keep whispering to them, talking to them, demonstrating his love. Because Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, the reason we should love our enemies is because God loves both the just and the unjust. He sends rain, he sends sunshine on them, not as punishment, but as resources for them to use. And so I'm hard-pressed to believe that just because someone hasn't named Christ, or just because they're living a lifestyle that is destructive to them, that God would then withdraw his creativity from them, any more than he withdraws life and breath from people who are carrying out horrific crimes around the world every day. My wife was telling me that the latest Time magazine, or some Time magazine that she was reading, has the picture of a woman on the cover whose nose and ears had been cut off because she had been given to a man, in marriage at an early age, and he was abusive and she ran away. And when they caught her, they mutilated her. Okay, those kind of horrific things are going on every day in the world. And yet God does not suddenly withdraw people's breath and life. He continues to provide resources to them because he loves them. Well, I got this far pretty well on Thursday, but then I started talking about Lady Gaga, and I didn't quite do my homework. First of all, Lady Gaga makes me laugh. She does not offend me. I think Christians sometimes suffer the same problems as the Pharisees. They get offended far too easily. Why should Lady Gaga's behavior offend me? She's just a young woman who's trying to get as many people to look at her as possible. And the way she's figured out how to do that is by being a provocateur. She appears to be a very creative and talented person who writes interesting songs that are very edgy and sometimes dark, but she does that specifically because she is trying to create an environment where people will want to hear from her or emulate her, and certainly she is not creating an environment of success for herself, because eventually that type of focus will catch up with her, and she's not creating an environment of success for the people who necessarily feed on her music. And yet, I have no problem believing that God is, in fact, inspiring Lady Gaga. I'm getting my mail. I can't remember if I've already checked it today, so I thought I would check. Because a lot of her stuff is very well done. And it's interesting. And what got me in trouble yesterday is I had seen Lady Gaga on the Today Show put on a performance out in Rockefeller Center. And first of all, that a person of her stature would come and do a free show in Rockefeller Center, first of all, impressed me, because she doesn't have to do that. And second of all, the level of energy that she put into that show was just frankly amazing to me. And she had done a song, and I don't think I'll even mention the name of the song, but from just listening, I'm backing into my garage, from just listening to the lyrics of the song, how I interpreted the song was that it was a young woman who was talking to her boyfriend or whomever, and he was kind of passive and not really engaging and passionate, and she was trying to encourage him to be more passionate, you know, be more forthcoming. And I interpreted that as, you know, pretty good advice, because sometimes nothing really happens unless you get some passion behind something, unless you go forward. Unfortunately, that's apparently not what Lady Gaga thought the song was about. Well, she said it was kind of about two things, and there were several of the people that really focused on one of the things that Lady Gaga said the song was about, and so I thought, you know, if I'm using the title of that song, given what most people on the internet say it's about, that's probably not so good. So I thought, well, I better re-record. But in terms of that passion, in terms of finding that moment of creativity when you get an idea and then following through and focusing on it and staying with it, in terms of that mechanism, I think that's a really valid thing. And I was reading an interview with Lady Gaga several weeks ago, and it just tickled me, because she was talking about the fact that she's like any other 24-year-old girl. She said, I have the same insecurities and uncertainties in my life. She said, I wake up in the morning and sometimes I want to just stay there and just lay in bed. And I won't use the term she used, because I don't know all who my audience is, and there's no point me offending you for no reason. But she said, and then I think, B, and she used the B word, she said, B, you're Lady Gaga. Get up and walk the walk. And I thought, you know, that's right. Understand who you are. Get up and do something. And what you will find is that if you get up and do something, that the more you respond to those creative whispers within you, the more creative whispers you will have. And so I would just encourage you, if there's some idea that you've had, if there's some thought for a poem or thought for a book, or if you really have an interest in painting or sculpting or writing music, anything like that, or building something or inventing something, I would encourage you, go do it. What's the worst that can happen? So you fall down and don't succeed at it. At least you tried. I had a buddy that I interviewed this week, the first part of this week. And I've known him for quite a while. He works up there in the Assemblies of God World Missions where I'm doing the interviews. And he said that the young man who was scheduling meetings for me at one time came over after he'd been scheduling meetings for me for a little bit. He came over and he said, do you know who that is? And he said, yeah. He said, that's Phil Ferrand. He said, yeah. He said, I can't believe that's Phil Ferrand. I don't know if he knew me from the Nitpicker's Guides or knew me from Finale or whatever, or he read my wiki page or whatever. And my buddy looked at him and he said, yeah. He said, I've known him for a long time. He said, you know what the difference is between Phil Ferrand and us? He said, Phil Ferrand's done enough stuff and he's succeeded at enough stuff that he's not afraid. He gets an idea, he'll just try it. And the only correction I would have to that observation is Phil Ferrand stopped being afraid a long time ago. Not because Phil Ferrand thinks he's anything big or special, but because Phil Ferrand had parents that showed him that God is an ever-present resource. And if you'll just give him a chance, he'll help you. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.